Thank you, sir. Today we read from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 11, Chapter 3, Text 52-53. Chapter 3 is called as Liberation from the Illusory Energy. So in this chapter, as all of you know by now, so it's been a long chapter, that the Navayogendras are speaking to King Nimi and answering several of the questions of King Nimi. And as a part of that, they are giving him this knowledge as to how to get liberated from the illusory energy. And that's what this chapter is all about. And now, we are at the back end of the chapter, so we are doing text 52-53.
Sangamabhangam sapashadam tantam murtim swamantratah
completing the worship, vidhivat,
vidhivat,
in accordance with the prescribed regulations.
In accordance with the prescribed regulations.
Savai stutva,
savai stutva,
honoring the deity by offering prayers.
Honoring the deity by offering prayers.
Amen.
Amen.
One should bow down.
One should bow down.
Harim.
Harim.
To the Lord.
To the Lord.
Translation. One should worship the deity along with each of the limbs of his transcendental body, his weapons such as the Sudarshan Chakra, his other bodily features and his personal associates. One should worship each of these transcendental aspects of the Lord by its own mantra and with offerings of water to wash the feet, scented water, water to wash the mouth, water for bathing, fine clothing and ornaments, fragrant oils, valuable necklaces, unbroken barley corns, flower garlands, incense and lamps. Having thus completed the worship in all its aspects in accordance with the prescribed regulations, one should then honor the deity of Lord Hari with prayers and offer obeisances to him by bowing down. Om Ajnana Timirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurusmitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manovishnam Sthapitam Yena Bhuvane Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadatishva Padantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Guru Vaishnavanascha Shri Rupam Sagrajataram Dharana Raghunathanamitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Paritam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Dharana Lalita Shri Shamanamitam Cha He Krishna Karuna Sindho Dinabandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta deity worship. So today also we will talk about certain aspects of deity worship. In Canto 5, Chapter 17, which is called as the Descent of the Ganges, specifically in Text 14, Srila Prabhupada gives a very interesting purport. In the purport, it is mentioned that Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur has mentioned that even the demigods in the heavenly planetary systems, even they worship the Alsa Vigraha form of the Lord. And Srila Prabhupada writes, this is because of Mishri Bhakti. Srila Prabhupada says there that unless one is completely free of all anarthas, one has no adhikar or right to worship the Lord personally. Therefore, till the time that purification happens, one has to worship the Lord in the form of Alsa Vigraha. So because demigods are Mishri Bhaktas, they also have to worship the deity form of the Lord. And then the verse which is quoted, which says, Archaya Vishnu Siladhir Gurushu Naramati. It is mentioned that one cannot directly worship the Lord without being totally uncontaminated or totally pure in the heart. And one has to worship the Archa Vigraha. However, this Archa Vigraha, one has to understand, is non-different from the personal form of the Lord. So both this understanding is required. Archa Vigraha is not only a means to attain the Lord. Certainly, yes, it is a means, because Srila Prabhupada gives the example of post box in Bhagavad Gita, where he says that Archa Vigraha is a means, authorized means to achieve the Lord. But then, the higher meaning of Archa Vigraha is that Archa Vigraha is not different from the Lord. It is one of the incarnations of the Lord. So therefore, in this verse it is said, no one should treat the deity in the temple as mere stone or metal, as much as no one should treat the Guru as an ordinary person. That is the meaning of the verse. Archaya Vishnu Siladhir Gurushu Naramati. If we don't have this kind of understanding, then we can make lot of offenses against the deity as well as against the Vaishnavas, and therefore we will not advance in Krishna consciousness. So deity worship or the process of archana is one of the 9 processes of purification called as the Navavira Bhakti. So archana or deity worship is defined as formal regulated offering of respect and service to the Lord. I repeat, formal regulated offering of respect and service to the Lord. This is the definition of archana. There are 2 important components of devotional service. One is called as the archana and one is called as the bhajana. Archana and bhajana. The difference between both is, archana means that the conditioned soul, because of the influence of lust, anger, envy, greed, pride, and so on and so forth, does not have the propensity to spontaneously respect the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Therefore, the conditioned soul needs a formal set of rules and regulations to enable himself or herself to come up to that standard by which one can spontaneously worship the Lord. This is called as archana, that process by which this happens. And bhajana, on the other hand, is that process which is done by an advanced devotee who has taken complete shelter of the holy name. And he is so pure that the Lord has already started personally reciprocating with such a person. So that process is called as bhajana. So therefore, the goal is bhajana, and archana is one of the processes which enables us to reach that goal of bhajana, especially in the very most more important in the neophyte stages, but no less important even in the advanced stages. We will see that also, the relevance of archana both in the neophyte as well as the advanced stages. So Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, who is the spiritual master of Srila Prabhupada, he has given 5 reasons why this deity worship is relevant even in today's context. And today we will discuss all the five reasons in detail. The first reason which Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur mentioned is we have to take up the process of deity worship seriously simply because the acharyas have recommended us to do so. So as we know, in Isopanishad there is a word which Srila Prabhupada writes, which is called as Anupashyati. And also in Nectar of Instruction, Srila Rupa Goswami mentions Sangat Tyaga Satovrite. Satovrite means following in the footsteps of the acharyas. Anupashyati and Satovrite. So Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur has said that it is more than enough a reason, because the senior acharyas have followed that, that it behooves us to follow this process. And we have to follow this, take the process of deity worship seriously. In fact, in Nectar of Devotion, Srila Rupa Goswami has enunciated 64 items of devotional, of deity worship, or sorry, of devotional service, out of which more than 35 components, more than 35 items are only pertaining to deity worship. So that is the importance which Srila Rupa Goswami has given to the process of deity worship. Not only that, Srila Sanatana Goswami, taking cue from Srila Rupa Goswami, expanded all those points in a book called as Hari Bhakti Vilasa, where he gives all the details of this deity worship process called as Archana Paddhati. So that is the importance of deity worship. And Srila Prabhupada, who is in the same lineage, who is the Jagat Guru for us, Srila Prabhupada worship established very high standards of deity worship all over the world. Now, the unique thing which Srila Prabhupada did, which no other acharya of contemporary age has done, is that Srila Prabhupada took this process of deity worship outside India. Deity worship was traditionally confined only to India earlier. Okay. And because of that, the disadvantage was that it was something like a proprietary skill set of the Indians. Obviously, we know by now that we are not the body, we are spirit soul. The very fact to think that we are Indians or we are Westerners is an upadhi, false designation. So Srila Prabhupada travelled all around the world to remove this ignorance in the hearts of people. And in the process, he established the deity worship standards. And as all of us know, ISKCON has got the highest standard of deity worship. There are very few temples in the world which can match our standards of deity worship. And we can be proud of that. We can be proud of Srila Prabhupada in that sense. And ISKCON. So, when Srila Prabhupada established the standards of deity worship, obviously there was objection from the Indian community. So once, somebody told Srila Prabhupada that we don't accept your process of deity worship because in your temples, in many of your temples, we have not seen a bell. Ting, ting. We have not seen a bell. So Srila Prabhupada told them that we have a bell in every ISKCON temple. You cannot see it. Our bell is this tongue and the mouth. And with this tongue, we chant the Hare Krishna Mahamantra. And that is our bell. Our bell is nothing else but the Sankirtan movement. And Srila Prabhupada told him that nowadays, most of the Hindu temples have become nothing more than bell ringing temples. And all of us, many of us who originate from India, cannot agree with this more. Sorry, cannot agree with it less. So when we go to the temples in India, normally what happens? If you go to any other temple, you go and then ding ding, you ring the bell, and then you know, some poor pujari or pandit will come running to you, saying that, no, sir, 15 rupees, 10 rupees, sir, 50 rupees. And they'll have, you know, 2 coconuts means 50 rupees, 10 coconuts means, you know, 100 rupees, 2 agarbattis, 1 peda, and then they'll do something, ting, 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 and then, you know, they put a crown on their head, and they'll say that, you know, promotion you should get, or, you know, you should have, you know, very nice wife you should get, whatever. Whatever your desires are, may they get fulfilled. Obviously, we go with all material desires. So, obviously, you know, such a kind of asana paddhati cannot lead us to the highest goal of life, which is to attain Krishna Prema. So Srila Prabhupada was very heavy, and then he travelled all over the world to remove this ignorance from the hearts of men. Therefore, Anupashyati or Satovritte, following the footsteps of the Acharya, is the first reason which Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur gave as the reason for deity worship, the importance of deity worship. Reason number two for deity worship is, it has been mentioned by the Acharya that the descent of the Lord in the form of Archa Vigraha is the causeless mercy of the Supreme Personality of God on the Kanishtha Adhikaris. The causeless mercy of the Lord on the Kanishtha Adhikaris. This is the second reason for deity worship. And it is mentioned that a Kanishtha Adhikari, there are two, three symptoms of a Kanishtha Adhikari. One is that the Kanishtha Adhikari has ignorance. And the other thing is the Kanishtha Adhikari has envy. So these are the two basic characteristics of a Kanishtha Adhikari. There are so many characteristics, but we can filter it out and put it under these two headings, ignorance and envy. So the Kanishtha Adhikari is ignorant of the power of the Supreme Personality of God. And he thinks that he himself is very powerful. Also, the Kanishtha Adhikari is very obsessed with his own abilities and with his qualifications. And also a Kanishtha Adhikari, because of this kind of thinking, is very self-centered in all his approaches. So these are the traits of a Kanishtha Adhikari. So because of ignorance and envy, specifically because of ignorance, the Kanishtha Adhikari is unable to understand the glories of the Lord. And therefore, he is not able to offer respect to the Supreme Personality of Godhead spontaneously because of this ignorance. Whereas an Uttama Adhikari is quite the opposite. An Uttama Adhikari is able to see the Lord everywhere. He is Samadarshi. He is able to see the Lord everywhere. And the Kanishtha Adhikari, on the other hand, he is totally unaware of the omnipresence of the Lord. So therefore, a Kanishtha Adhikari needs a specific method for his personal development. He needs to be given a specific process by which he can gradually develop from a point of view where he can only see the Lord locally to a point of view where he can see the Lord everywhere, like that of an Uttama Adhikari. So he needs a specific process, as well as he needs a specific location where he can come and start his process of devotional service. And that is the relevance of deity worship in the temple. One example here is that of Srila Prabhupada. When Srila Prabhupada, once he was travelling to one of the western countries, and Srila Prabhupada saw a rath cart. This rath cart did not even have the deity of Jagannath Baladev Subhadra. But the moment the rath cart was shown to Srila Prabhupada, immediately Srila Prabhupada fell down like a stick and offered dandavats. And his kurta was completely soiled. So devotees are wondering, why is Srila Prabhupada paying obeisance to a rath cart where there is no deities at all? So Srila Prabhupada got up and told them that this rath cart is non-different from Lord Jagannath, because this is one of the paraphernalia of Lord Jagannath, and the paraphernalia is non-different from the Lord because the paraphernalia reminds me of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So anything which reminds us of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, we should consider as non-different. And Srila Prabhupada was such a samadarshi, he used to see Lord everywhere. So this is one example. Whereas the Kanishtha Adhikari is not on this platform at all. So he has ignorance. So Srila Prabhupada has recommended the process of deity worship to remove this ignorance. The second characteristic of Kanishtha Adhikari is envy. Now, a Kanishtha Adhikari is generally not interested in the Lord's paraphernalia, entourage or devotees. Many times we will find that, you know, when the lecture is going on, okay, people enter the temple and then, you know, they'll just ignore the lecturer, they'll ignore all the devotees, they'll go directly, they'll ignore Srila Prabhupada also. They'll go right past and they'll go there and then pay obeisances. And after that they'll have a confused look, they'll go here and then walk outside the temple. Still, those people are great because at least they are coming to the temple. Still they are great. But greater than that is appreciation for the devotees. So we see very clearly that Kanishtha Adhikari stage means Krishna is mine and everything I have to do only with Krishna. I don't have to do anything with the devotees. This is the mind of a Kanishtha Adhikari. Therefore, a Kanishtha Adhikari does not know how to respect devotees, and therefore he is engaged in lot of improper dealings with the Vaishnavas because of this quality of envy. And any prolonged dealing of the Kanishtha Adhikari with the Vaishnava only leads to conflict. Therefore, Srila Prabhupada said, neophyte means always fight. In Satya Yuga, the devotees were very different. the quality of devotees are very different in Satya Yoga, and devotees are quite perfect, and they are very particular about their spiritual duty, and therefore their dealings with one another was full of Vaishnava etiquette, and it was very good. But with the influence of Treta Yuga, there was a heavy influence of negative qualities when Treta Yuga started. And when this manifested, there was a lot of disrespectful dealings between the Vaishnavas which began. And therefore, the Acharyas got together and thought, why not introduce a process of purification by which the Kanishtha Adhikari can improve his dealings with the Vaishnavas. And that is the genesis of deity worship. So Srila Prabhupada writes in Isopanishad that there are three types of devotees: Kanishtha Adhikari, Madhyam Adhikari and Uttam Adhikari. The third class devotee, the second class devotee and the first class devotee. So Srila Prabhupada says, what is the difference at the end of the day between these three devotees? So he says that the difference is to the extent or the degree of identification with the false ego. The more we identify with the false ego, the more we are on the Kanishtha platform. The less we identify. In fact, if there is no trace of false ego, then we can say that the person is Uttam Adhikari. So therefore, a process is needed by which the Kanishtha Adhikari undergoes purification without too much infringement or interference with his false ego, specifically in the initial stages. So, Don Sadhu Sangha is actually, we know the processes from Madhurya Kadamini, Shraddha, Sadhu Sangha, Bhajana Kriya. So, Don Sadhu Sangha, without devotee association, one cannot progress in Krishna consciousness, and Sadhu Sangha is the most wanted process in devotional service, and it is the highest benediction also that we all have devotee association. Still, because the Kanishtha Adhikari, he has infringement on his false ego, therefore the sages recommended the process of deity worship. This is the second reason. And in the initial stages, it is said that a Kanishtha Adhikari is more comfortable directly dealing with the deity and doing deity worship, and by gradually doing that, anartha nivritti starts happening, and then he or she starts developing friendship with the Vaishnavas. For example, another example from Srila Prabhupada's pastimes. When Srila Prabhupada established the Mayapur temple, so what Srila Prabhupada did was, first he established the deity quarters, which is the lotus building. And when Srila Prabhupada did this, again there was some criticism. How can you first construct for the devotees and then for the Lord? First it should be for the Lord and then for the devotees. So Srila Prabhupada said that the devotees are more important. Because unless the devotees stay very nicely and perform kirtan, the Lord will not incarnate in her. Srila Prabhupada explained it in that way. Also, Srila Prabhupada had one associate. If we read Leelamrita, we'll come to know that his name was Dr. Patel. So once Dr. Patel objected very vehemently with Srila Prabhupada, it was very heavy. He said that how can you construct the devotee flow higher than that of the Lord? The Lord is on the ground floor and devotee's quarters is on the first floor or second floor. How can you construct such a building? So Srila Prabhupada explained to him, he quoted the verse, Mad Bhaktya Pujya Vadika, which means that the devotee has to be worshipped as good as the Supreme Personality of the God, of Godhead. And Srila Prabhupada quoted to him from the Puranas where Lord Shiva is telling Parvati, Aradhanam Sarvesham Vishnor Aradhanam Param Tasmat Parataram Devim Tadiyanam Samarchanam, where Lord Shiva is telling Parvati that Aradhanam Sarvesham Vishnor Aradhanam Param, which means out of all the worships, the highest is the worship of Lord Vishnu. But the next line he says, Tasmat Parataram Devim Tadiyanam Samarchanam, but higher than the worship of Lord Vishnu is the worship of the devotees of Lord Vishnu. So Srila Prabhupada explained to Dr. Patel the meaning of Tadiya. So he said the meaning of Tadiya is that which is connected with the Lord. Tadiyanam Samarchanam. So everything which is connected to the Lord is much more worshipable than the Lord himself. So Srila Prabhupada told him that if we develop a strong connection with the Lord through deity worship directly initially, if we develop a strong connection with the Lord, then gradually purification happens within the heart and we start taking more seriously all that is connected with the Lord later on as a result of that process. So that is the second reason for deity worship. Once there was a painter who was there in ISKCON, and Srila Prabhupada asked him to make a painting. So he finished the painting. And when Srila Prabhupada, when he unveiled the painting to Srila Prabhupada and showed it, Srila Prabhupada saw that in the painting there was Lord Krishna, who was sitting all alone in a forest with his hand on his head. So Srila Prabhupada asked him, what kind of painting is this? So therefore this painter told Srila Prabhupada that this is Vipranamba mood. Lord Krishna is in separation from the gopis. So he is frustrated like this. So he is sitting like this. So Srila Prabhupada said, this is not a way to do a painting of Lord Krishna. He is not a mundane personality to show material frustration. So Srila Prabhupada said, Lord Krishna is non-different from his energies. In fact, Keshav Prabhu was explaining to us when we started the Bhagavatam in 2005, Bhakti Vaibhav course, he taught us that Lord Krishna is absolute truth, and absolute truth means not only Lord Krishna, but Lord Krishna along with his energies. So Lord Krishna is never alone, he is always with his energies. And this is a higher understanding in Krishna consciousness. So Srila Prabhupada told him, this is not a correct depiction of Lord Krishna. Lord Krishna can never be alone, and he cannot have a kind of a material kind of expression for his separation. But still, Srila Prabhupada is very compassionate, because out of love the painter had done. So therefore Srila Prabhupada told him, you just change the caption of this particular painting. Don't call it as Lord Krishna is in separation with the devotees. Just say that Lord Krishna has a headache. So Srila Prabhupada gave him this message and explained to him that Lord Krishna means Krishna and his energies. He cannot be alone. And Srila Prabhupada also mentioned to him that Lord Krishna is always, should be with his peacock or with gopis or with some paraphernalia. He cannot be alone. So this was about ignorance. So the painter, in his neophyte stage, he was exhibiting ignorance. Now there is another example of envy. Here, the example of Maharaj Prataparudra from the Chaitanya Charitamrita. So as all of you know, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the Lord, refused to see Maharaj Prataparudra. He said that, no, I will not see this person because he is a worldly personality. Till the time that Ramananda Rai came in front of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and he campaigned in a sense for Chaitanya Mahaprabhu giving mercy to Maharaj Prataparudra. So Ramananda Rai told Mahaprabhu that actually Maharaj Prataparudra is much more advanced than me. Therefore you should give him special mercy. So Ramananda Rai told Chaitanya Mahaprabhu that it is because of him that I am able to associate with you. Why? Because Maharaj Prataparudra, he was a king and Ramananda Rai was a governor in his kingdom. So he was actually, he was the boss in modern language. Maharaj Prataparudra was the boss of Ramananda Rai. However, when Srila Ramananda Rai went to Maharaj Prataparudra and asked him, saying that I want to dedicate my life to serving Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and I want to travel with him wherever he goes, therefore you please grant me leave from my office. So Maharaj Prataparudra did not even battle an eyelid. Immediately he said, go ahead, I will ensure that you will get full wages and pension. So Maharaj Prataparudra did not think, I was waiting for Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's darshan, I am the king sitting here and this fellow is only an ordinary subordinate and that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is giving him mercy. I am the king in between, so he is not recognizing my authority. He did not think like that. Immediately he said that, at least I am not getting it, but you are getting it, I am very happy. So I encourage you. So when Ramananda Rai narrated this pastime to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, then Mahaprabhu said, Prabhu kohe tumi Krishna bhakta pradhan, toma kiye priti hoye shri bhagyavan. Mahaprabhu said, one who shows affection for you is very fortunate because you are a great devotee of Lord Krishna. And then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu added, Krishna avashya koribe angikar. Krishna avashya koribe angikar. So Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said that originally I did not want to meet this Maharaj Prataparudra. But because he has so much affection for you and you are a great devotee of Lord Krishna, therefore Krishna avashya koribe angika. Therefore Krishna, Lord Krishna will definitely bless him. So in this way, we see that Maharaj Pratapudra was not on Kanishtha platform. A Kanishtha Adhikari generally has envy for the devotees, whereas Maharaj Pratapudra, because he was an Uttama Adhikari, he never demonstrated any kind of envy. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu saw that in his heart and therefore gave him mercy. The conclusion here of the second point is, Kanishtha Adhikari does not have this kind of appreciation for the devotees. Therefore, it is required that for a Kanishtha Adhikari to come up to the platform of Maharaja Pratapudra, he or she needs to start from the process of deity worship. It is mentioned in the scriptures that the Lord has got five forms. The first form is called as the para form. The para form is the Lord who is in the spiritual world. The second form is called as the vyuha form. And the vyuha form generally refers to Lord Krishna's immediate expansion, Lord Balram's immediate expansion as Vasudev, Sankarshan, Anirudh and Pradyumna. These are called as the vyuha forms. And then we have the vaibhava forms. The vaibhava forms are the incarnations of the Lord in the different yugas, where the Lord comes and performs various pastimes. The fourth form of the Lord is called as the antaryami. The antaryami is called as the super soul within the heart. And the fifth form of the Lord is called as the archa form of the Lord, which is the deity form of the Lord. So, the Kanishtha Adhikari does not have access to the first four forms of the Lord, which is the para, the vyuha, the vaibhav and the antaryami. The Kanishtha Adhikari does not even know the presence of Paramatma inside the hearts of everyone. Recently in the Bhakti Shastri exam, the students had a question, what is the difference between mode of knowledge in the mode of ignorance, mode of passion and mode of goodness? And if all the Bhakti Shastri students may recall that in the mode of goodness, the quality of the symptom of knowledge is that this knowledge is indivisible. We see the Lord as indivisible. Within everyone's heart, the Lord is seen. That is called as knowledge in the mode of goodness. So, the Kanishtha Adhikari does not have access to even the Antaryami concept of the Lord. So, therefore, the Lord condenses all the four forms into the Archa Vigraha form of the Lord. Therefore, the Kanishtha Adhikari, by worshipping the deity form of the Lord, gets the benefit of worshipping all these four forms of the Lord. Simultaneously, he gets the benefit. So, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur concludes this section by saying that the deity's causeless mercy on the Kanishtha Adhikari is because he is not sufficiently pure enough. So if the Kanishtha Adhikari is not sufficiently pure enough and he does preaching to others, then such preaching will have no effect on the hearts of others to transform the lives of people. Therefore, the Kanishtha Adhikari has to go through this deity worship process, otherwise he will get frustrated in his attempts at progressing in devotional life. So therefore, Srila Prabhupada established this. The deity worship Srila Prabhupada not only established inside the temple, but Srila Prabhupada took the deities outside the temple all over the world by establishing the process of Rathayatra everywhere, the worship of Lord Jagannath, Baldev and Subhadra. So once one of the Pandas from Jagannath Puri objected to Srila Prabhupada, how can you take Lord Jagannath everywhere all around the world? So Srila Prabhupada told him, the deity is Lord Jagannath, not Uriyana. And once what happened was, there is an interesting pastime of a devotee called as Suvigyan Acharya. This Suvigyan Acharya is a devotee from Bengal or Orissa, one of these places. Now the Suvigyan Acharya, he was roaming around in Vrindavan and he was normally doing Madhukari in Vrindavan. So one day what happened, he did not get Madhukari at all and he was very hungry. So as he was travelling, he saw one Brajavasi who was eating something on the road. So Suvigyan Acharya walked past him and told him, can you tell me where to get Madhukari? I haven't had anything to eat. The moment Suvigyan Acharya said this, the devotee took out chapati from his mouth and he gave it to Suvigyan Acharya. And he was completely bewildered. He said, what is this? I have never seen anything like this. He took me too seriously. He removed from his mouth and then he gave it to me. He couldn't just understand this. And he was making some offences actually against this Rajavasi. So immediately, but Suvigyan Acharya obviously was also a very elevated devotee in that sense. So Lord Krishna appeared in front of him. This is the pastime which is happening. And Lord Krishna told him that this is a Brajavasi. Don't take him lightly. Don't take the chapati inside his mouth to be the same as a chapati in the mouth of any other karmi devotee, right? Which we call as jhuta or contaminated. Because the mouth is the most contaminated part of the body. It is said. So this is not like that. And Lord Krishna personally told him that this is a symptom of mundane consciousness, where one cannot differentiate between a Kanishtha Adhikari and the Uttama Adhikari. So he, Lord Krishna personally told Suvigan Acharya that you are very fortunate that you are getting this remnant. Please take it whenever you get this. So again the conclusion is that the Kanishtha Adhikari cannot see, cannot differentiate between different levels of devotees. Therefore, he has to start with deity worship. So that these are the first two reasons. First reason is that because the Acharyas have said so. The second reason is because the Kanishtha Adhikari has to be gradually elevated to the platform of Uttama Adhikari. The third reason for deity worship, which Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur mentioned, is that the conditioned soul has a tendency to enjoy. So once in a lecture I heard that Premanjana Churita Bhakti Virochanena, that is the symptom of an Uttama Adhikari, whereas the Kanishtha Adhikari is Kamanjana Churita Bhukti Virochanena. So therefore, the transition from this level, Kamanjana Churita Bhukti, to Premanjana Churita Bhakti has to happen through the process of deity worship. In the 11th canto, it is mentioned that in the Arjana Paddhati, there is something given in the 11th canto also. There is an interesting verse there, and I don't remember the exact verse, but there are two words which are mentioned there called as Dravyai Prasidhyai. If anyone knows the verse, you can say that. Dravyai Prasidhyai. Dravyai Prasidhyai means that the Lord must be worshipped in complete opulence. Like you are worshipping the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Even a mundane personality like George Bush or Bill Gates, when he comes, there is elaborate arrangements made for that kind of a personality. Now here we are talking about the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So therefore, Dravyai Prasidhyai, we should use all excellent elements in the service of the Lord. And by that process, it is said, Hridi Bhavena Kaivali. By that process, all the impurities in the heart will gradually go away. Which means that when a person who is very advanced, that time this kind of an elaborate opulent worship is not actually required, because the Lord is bhava-grahi. He sees the mood of the devotee. For example, when the Lord went to Vidura's house, then Vidura's wife, what she did was, instead of giving banana, she was throwing a banana away and giving the peel to the Lord, and the Lord was very nicely accepting that. That is because the wife of Vidura and Vidura, they were on a very high platform in devotion. But so the Lord is bhava-grahi. He only sees the bhava of the devotee. He doesn't see how opulently you have given him what. But till the time that that bhava arises, we have to worship the Lord with all opulence. So Vaidhi Sadhana Bhakti and then Raghavanura Sadhana Bhakti. Initially, the rules and regulations of Sadhana Bhakti are very important. So Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Maharaj said that for a Kanishtha Adhikari, he may not be able to appreciate the power of Krishna initially. But in the neophyte stage, though we are not able to appreciate the power of the Lord, we are definitely able to appreciate the power of money. A Kanishtha Adhikari definitely can appreciate the power of money. He can appreciate what it costs to have gold and ghee. The cost of this is very well known to everyone, especially in today's inflation. So, a Kanishtha Adhikari normally is very attracted to good clothes, good food, good paraphernalia and all that. So when the Kanishtha Adhikari then enters the temple and he sees Chappan Bhog being offered to the Lord and he is being worshipped with good clothes, good food, etc., then initially though the Kanishtha Adhikari gets attracted to the plate, but later on he starts wondering, who is this person who is so nicely enjoying all this? That person must be really great if he is being worshipped like this. Especially the bhoga is being offered 6 to 8 times in a day. And gradually when the Kanishtha Adhikari sees this, this feeling of awe and reverence develops for the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So gradually what happens is, when the Kanishtha Adhikari sees that, the enjoyment propensity is transferred from Aham Mameti, which means I and me, to that of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Gradually the process happens. So once Srila Prabhupada, someone came to Srila Prabhupada, again in India, and then said, why are you worshipping this 200 bending form of the Lord? You must worship the Virat Rupa. You must install Virat Rupa in the temple. So Srila Prabhupada said, do you know how a Virat Rupa looks like? If you install the Virat Rupa, first thing, you will not know how to dress him. And then Srila Prabhupada scared him by saying that, do you know Virat Rupa eats everything? He can eat you also. So what have you been? So the devotee was silent after that. So Srila Prabhupada said that it is only in this form, 200 bending form of the Lord, that you can actually relish the mellows of serving the Lord. Of course, 400 bending form also one can relish mellows. But Srila Prabhupada was saying, at least he was talking about Virat Rupa vis-a-vis this form of the Lord, which is which can be accepted more by us. So Srila Prabhupada said that only with him you can develop a loving relationship like this and worship him in that mood of service with rasa. For example, Srila Prabhupada once was saying that Tirupati temple, Prabhupada was glorifying the Tirupati temple and the high standards. And in another lecture I was hearing that the Tirupati, Tirupati temple, the deity of the Lord, the cost of the, the cost of the costume of the Lord in Tirupati is rupees 8 crores. 8 crore rupees only for the dress of the Lord, which means many, many millions of dollars. I don't know what the exchange rate is. But you can see, 8 crore rupees. Okay. So therefore, when a Kanishtha Adhikari comes, and when he is told that this Tirupati Balaji is none else but that Shyam Sundar or Lord Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he is simply a coward boy at the end of the day who is wearing this 8 crore dress. So the Kanishtha Adhikari, he is not able to initially accept the Lord as a coward boy, Tirupati Balaji. But then when he says 8 crore dress and then daily hundi collection is 1 crore. So when the Kanishtha Adhikari sees this, then he says, oh, what, this must be really somebody, very important. So let me properly worship the deity. So once we see the Lord being worshipped with such paraphernalia, such expensive paraphernalia, gradually our enjoyment propensity shifts, our focus shifts from ourselves to the Lord. So that is the third reason. Reason number 4 of deity worship answers the question. People say that if Yuga Dharma is chanting and hearing the holy names of the Lord, then why deity worship? Right. Is chanting and hearing not important? So Srila Prabhupada gives 3 reasons for this. Srila Prabhupada says that in the initial stages of devotional life, we have 3 problems. One is we have a high degree of material contamination. Number 2, we have a lot of non-devotional tendencies in our heart. And number 3, we do not have steadiness and control over the mind. The first 2 we already discussed all along, non-devotional tendencies and mental contamination, we have discussed. The third one is, we don't have steadiness in our sadhana. So Srila Prabhupada says that chanting in hearing is the primary means in devotional service. However, deity worship is the auxiliary means. In fact, in Srimad Bhagavatam somewhere it is mentioned that the different process of bhakti has been compared to the different limbs in the body. So it is mentioned that while archana, if archana is compared to the body, then hearing and chanting process, archana means deity worship. If deity worship is being compared to the body, then hearing and chanting is compared to the soul. So they have to go hand in hand. So by the process of devotional service, by the process of deity worship or archana padati, this unsteadiness in our sadhana is gradually reduced and we come to the platform of nishtha by chanting and parallelly performing deity worship. That is the 4th reason. And then the last reason, it is the 5th reason for deity worship, is that deity worship protects us even in future life in case of fall downs. And there are 2 examples which are given in the Srimad Bhagavatam. One is the example of Maharaj Bharat, who took the body of a deer because he remembered a deer at the end of his life. So he had to take one lifetime as a deer before going back to Godhead. So in that, there is a Sanskrit word which is mentioned, which is said, Krishna Archano Prabhava, in the pastime of Maharaj Bharat. It is said that Maharaj Bharat was able to remember the Supreme Personality of Godhead in the body of a deer only because of he had done elaborate deity worship when he was Maharaj Bharat. The second example is that of Gajendra, the elephant. Gajendra the elephant, all of you know, is none other than Indradyumna Maharaj. Right? So when Indradyumna Maharaj had done elaborate deity worship, and in the next lifetime when he took birth as an elephant, and this pastime happened, Gajendra Moksha, when he was in the jaws of the crocodile, at that time Lord Gajendra is offering prayers wherein he says, Hari Archanu Bhavena Yat Gajatva Hi Anusmriti. Hari Archanu Bhavena Yat Gajatve Hi Anusmriti. Hari Archanu Bhavena means by the influence of deity worship. Hari Archanu Bhavena Yat Gajatve. Although I am an elephant in this lifetime, Hi Anusmriti. Still I am protected. So these are 2 examples. And the reason number 4, which means the devotional, the deity worship protects us even in the future lifetimes in case of fall down. Now Srila Prabhupada, in the beginning of the class we mentioned that deity worship is not only for the neophytes, but it is also for the advanced devotees. So how Srila Prabhupada epitomized this? There are two instances. Srila Prabhupada used to see Lord Krishna personally everywhere, even when he saw the deity forms, which neophyte devotees cannot see. So once Srila Prabhupada was entering one of the temples, and he was visiting somewhere in one of the western temples, and at the moment Srila Prabhupada entered the temple president was with him. Immediately Srila Prabhupada said, the deities are looking sick. I can see that. So he was saying that, what is the problem? There is some reason. Why? So initially the temple president was not able to understand, but gradually he immediately remembered that yes, because of the financial problems in the temple, the number of offerings to the deities was reduced from 6 to 4. Okay. But still nobody in the temple was able to see this. When Srila Prabhupada entered, he immediately said, the deities look sick. And then he said this to Srila Prabhupada. In another example, when Srila Prabhupada entered another temple, he immediately said that the deities look very tired. So then again the temple president was called. And then, you know, after a lot of deliberation, they revealed that earlier the darshan timings, they used to close at 9 o'clock. But then, because of lot of, you know, pressure from the congregation, they extended the darshan timings up to 9:30 in the night. So the devotees were getting half an hour less sleep. So when Srila Prabhupada came in, he immediately saw that the deities were tired. So this is how an Uttama Adhikari is able to see the Lord personally, even in a Archa Vigraha. So Srila Prabhupada established 108 temples all over the world and gave this elaborate deity worship process so that all of us can get purified gradually. In fact, I heard in one of the lectures that when Prabhupada came to Melbourne temple, or one of the Australia temples, but I am pretty sure I heard Melbourne. Initially, when Srila Prabhupada came, the devotees were very inexperienced in deity worship. So Srila Prabhupada came in front of the deities and prayed to the Lord, please take care of yourself. And Srila Prabhupada said, these people are inexperienced right now, but I am pretty sure that by your mercy, they will all become pure and they will serve you very nicely. But till that time, please take care of yourself. So I heard in one of the lectures. So Srila Prabhupada said, one interesting, he quoted from Chaitanya Charitamrita, Gaurangera Sanghi Gane Nitya Siddha Kori Mane. Srila Prabhupada mentioned that when the word Nitya Siddha is normally referred, which is eternally liberated souls, Prabhupada said, don't be under the misunderstanding that only the associates of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu are Nitya Siddha. Many times when you say Nitya Siddha, immediately our tendency is to go back to history and then say, oh, who are all the Nitya Siddhas? But Srila Prabhupada said, don't be under that misconception that only people who are personal associates of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu are Nitya Siddhas. Gaurangera Sanghi Gane Nitya Siddha Kori Mane. Prabhupada said, anyone who follows the regulations which are given by Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu very diligently and also performs deity worship in a highly regulated manner, and on top of that, anyone who preaches, takes this message of Krishna consciousness all over the world, even if that person is amidst us right now, that person should be considered as a Nitya Siddha devotee. So we see, you know, in the ISKCON sannyasis who are is doing all this. I don't want to take any specific name, but we all know the Guru Maharaj. We have to consider them as Nitya Siddhas. And Srila Prabhupada mentioned that by following this process of deity worship and by following these, you know, instructions of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the pravachan which such persons give, the lectures which such persons give, or the kirtans which such persons do, for example, you know, Indrajana Swami Maharaj's kirtan, transform, you know, the hearts of millions of people, even in countries like Poland, Siberia and whatnot, right? In fact, some of our Maharajas have even gone risking their life to Pakistan to preach. So, the pravachan of such personalities has the ability to transform the hearts of people because they are strictly following the instructions of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, they are strictly following the principles of deity worship, not letting loose the standards of deity worship in the temple, and therefore whatever their vani is, whatever they talk, it is able to transform the hearts of millions of people. And Srila Prabhupada then gave these examples. He said, when Maharaj Pratapa Rudra
was in front of the Rath cart was going on. Maharaj Pratap, we know that first time, that Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was dancing in front of the Rath cart. And lot of devotees from Bengal were dancing all around that Rath cart in Puri. And Maharaj Pratap Rudra, he completed sweeping in front of the Rath cart, and he was also standing there. So, when Maharaj Pratap Rudra was standing with Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, and he saw all these Bengal devotees, and he saw there was tremendous effulgence on the faces of these Bengal devotees. So Maharaj Pratap Rudra told Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya,
Koti Surya Sama Tava Ujvadavaran Kabhu Nahi Dekhi Aise Madhura Kirtana.
Koti Surya Sama Tava Ujvadavaran Kabhu Nahi Dekhi Aise Madhura Kirtana. Koti Surya Sama means the effulgence of these devotees who are following Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's instructions is like millions and millions of sun. Okay. And Kabhu Nahi Dekhi Aise Madhura Kirtan. Then he says, I have never heard such quality of kirtan anywhere. And then he added,
Aise Prema Aise Nritya Aise Hari Dhvani Kaha Nahi Dekhi Aise Kaha Nahi Suni.
Aise Prema, such love, Aise Nritya, such dance, Aise Hari Dhvani, such kirtan, such music, Kaha Nahi Dekhi Aise Kaha Nahi Suni. I have never seen or never heard such a thing before. Now, who is saying this? Maharaj Pratap Rudra. Maharaj Pratap Rudra was a very powerful king and his influence was far and wide. And Maharaj Pratap Rudra had the best of kirtaniyas in the world at his beck and call, at his command. Even such person who has seen the best of kirtaniyas says, Aise prema, aise nritya, aise hari dhvani, kaha nahi dekhi aise, kaha nahi suni. I have never seen this kind of kirtan of these devotees. So therefore Srila Prabhupada writes that devotees of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu carry a special potency which is never found anywhere. And even a person of Maharaja Pratap Rudra's caliber is attracted by this. But this can only come, this potency can only come when we take to the process of deity worship very seriously, and then by that we purify our heart such that our bhajan is free of all apradas. So Srila Prabhupada gave an example sometime about one lady who was a Vrajavasi. This lady was travelling somewhere, and in India we have the train which has got first class compartment, three tire compartment and whatever. So this lady was travelling one day out of the city. So somebody asked her, how can you travel leaving your lord behind? Okay, because you love your deity so much, but now what will happen to your deity now that you are traveling? So the lady got up from her seat, she took him to the other compartment. Actually this lady herself was traveling in a second class compartment. So she took him to another compartment which was the first class compartment. And there, in the first class compartment in India normally you have a curtain or a door like this and you can enter. So she opened the door and then she had put a curtain, and when she opened the curtain there was an entire altar in the lower berth. So she said, I have booked lower berth in the name of passengers, two passengers called as Gaur and Nitai. So this is called as love for deities. She was actually doing that. So the conclusion is, by following the Archana Paddhati, by developing love for the deity forms of the Lord properly, one can come to a very high standard of chanting, and one can develop such potency by which one's preaching will be able to transform the hearts of people all around the world. So Archana Paddhati ki jai, deity worship ki jai, Gandhara Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, jai Sai Gurudeva. Any questions or comments? Keshav Guru, please. Have you spoken anything?
So, in our house we have photos of the deities all on the wall. So, we are all over the place. It's the same small room. And we have deities. Even with the what we have to do.
Can I ask Prabhu? In front of him, my answer will be not so good. So I think better you guide us. So my understanding is that there are two things. One is Smaranam and one is Archanam.
So we have photographs in various rooms, including our bedroom. Actually, bedroom is supposed to be a Muchi place. But even in the bedroom, we have some, we put photographs of Srila Prabhupada, we put photographs of Radha Vallabha, Radha Gopinath, like that. So my understanding is that this is for smaranam. So when we get up in the morning, immediately at least we have darshan of the Lord. So it just purifies our consciousness. And then immediately it reminds us that now we have to rush to the bathroom, rush, take bath and start our chanting process. So it brings us out of the mode of ignorance, because sleeping is in the mode of ignorance. Obviously we cannot immediately go and take darshan of the deities in a Muchi state. So therefore we have photographs. His great Narasimha Kavach Prabhu told us in the deity worship seminar which he conducted 2 years back, I had an opportunity to attend that. He said that when you have a three-dimensional form of the Lord, then we have to be very serious and the standards have to be pakka. Whereas with a photograph, generally the standards can be little bit loose. He didn't say that there is a license to commit apradas because we have photographs. But he said that yes, devotees initially can have photographs before they graduate to three-dimensional deities. So he said that the amount of apradas is much lesser in a photograph than in a three-dimensional deity. So therefore, we can still have these photographs in our, in different rooms, and we can have relatively less standards for those photographs than what we should have for the altar. But once we establish what is called as an altar, then that has to be very pakka. So we cannot go to the altar, for example, without taking a bath and start offering bhoga to the Lord, offering incense to the Lord. So this is my understanding. So there is smarana component and then there is archana component. Any other questions or comments? Tantra Srimad Bhagavatam ki Jai, Jai Prabhupada ki Jai, Jai Gaur Samadhi.